Pull up a seat and listen to our fable. We welcome all who sit at our table. Let's enjoy our caffeinated delight, for we are all monsters on the darkest of nights.
Hello and welcome to Caffeinated Monsters, your bi-weekly comedy horror podcast. I'm your host, Faith. I've got Joe next to me for this episode.
Hello.
And today's episode is based on films that should be horror but aren't. A few examples of this would definitely be Watership Down, Truman Show, Drop Dead Fred's a classic, Matrix and Groundhog Day. So let's have a little chat about them.
Yeah, I think some themes that a lot of these films have in common. Before we go into sort of the reasons why we think that, certainly I would class a few of them as horror, is that, you know, they all deal with things like simulated reality, surveillance, you know, the concept of privacy and whether something's actually private or not. You know, it's that whole, you know, is it real, is it not sort of scenario.
I think it's very true, especially with Truman Show, like Matrix being one of the main ones as well.
Yeah, I guess, you know, which one do you want to start with, really?
Let's go for a classic with the Matrix.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, especially with the, you know, the release of the new Matrix film, that's definitely a, you know, a film that's going to, you know, get popular again and get attention. And, you know, it was, and probably still is one of my favourite films, you know, not just for the, you know, groundbreaking visual effects, but it sort of started that whole idea of, you know, everything you think is real might not actually be real. And, you know, it leans very heavily into the simulation theory, which is not something I'm going to go into a massive amount of detail about. But, yeah, I guess The Matrix, you know, you'd probably class it as sci-fi, as I think a lot of people would. You know, and machines aside, you know, they're obviously a bit of a horror element. But if you look at, you know, at The Matrix as a film, you know, you've got a guy that basically learns his whole existence is a lie.
I'll admit, that's an absolutely horrible thought, but knowing that everything horrible and everything good that's happened to you, every relationship, every family member does not exist.
Yeah, or at the very least is, you know, is scripted by, you know, or scripted generated, I should say, by The Matrix. And I think there are a lot of parallels that can be drawn, you know, with something like The Truman Show. You know, you've got a guy who has been, you know, plonked into this, this simulation, this, you know, reality TV script since birth, and everyone he knows, albeit they are real in terms of real people and not simulated characters, you know, everything is scripted and everything, again, you know, is a lie. And you think, you know, if I was in that position and suddenly realised that everything, you know, everything I knew, everywhere I'd been, had I actually been anywhere? You know, had I actually made a friend? You know, everything that I think would have defined me as a person is now reduced to, well, that only happened because either, you know, The Matrix generated it or allowed it to happen, or it only happened because a writer of a script said it would happen.
And people were being paid to be your friend.
Yeah, I think that's something we're all probably a little bit scared of. Well, I mean, me, certainly. You know, you always had that fear that, you know, is someone friends with me because they actually like me, or, you know,
or they kind of go, or is it because their parents are like, go on, be friends with the lonely child in the corner.
Have a play date. No, I think that, you know, I think they are both films that, you know, the more I think about them, scares the bejesus out of me. You know, throw something like Groundhog Day on top of it, which incidentally, I'm not sure I can say it's based on a science fiction. Groundhog Day was based on a short story called 1201, which was about, you know, a time loop. And, you know, there was this guy and it only looped from 1201 to 1 p.m. and every hour it would reset and he would find himself at the beginning. But, you know, origins aside, Groundhog Day, although presented as a kind of, you know, fantasy comedy, I guess is the best way that I would certainly describe it. You know, you've got a guy who has a very essentially menial existence, and, you know, something that seems to be shared with, you know, the three films that we've looked at so far, you know, Matrix, Truman Show and Groundhog Day, is, you know, they're not particularly special people, they're not heroes, they're very ordinary, you know, and you've got the, you know, the TV reporter that actually, yes, not only would it be horrific to find yourself in a situation that keeps repeating itself, you know, you'd probably think you were going a little bit loopy, but I think the horror of it is, well, you know, we all know that the film had a, you know, a happy ending. What if time either keeps resetting forevermore, or, you know, you get so bored that you start doing things without fear of social repercussions.
Like you have no form of consequence for your actions.
Yeah, so, you know, if that was happening to you and you know, you get in your car and you decide to drive at 150 mile an hour on the wrong side of the road, what if that was the one time that time never reset?
Yeah, like we discussed a couple of days ago, like, imagine if the only way to reset, like, if you went on a mass murder spree, like, killed everyone in town, and then you actually woke up the next day, and time hasn't reset itself, and you have to deal with, like, oh dear God, I've got all these dead people that I've literally murdered, I have to not only explain and try and mentally prepare myself for the fact that I've killed all these people, but the fact that really everything that's repeated itself, no one's going to believe you, and they'll think you just snapped one day and just killed everyone.
Yeah, and you know, I guess it goes back to, you know, how do you define horror? You know, all of these sort of incidents that we've discussed, you know, they, you know, are they horror because it's, you know, a lack of a defined outcome, or, you know, is it the amount of control, or, you know, is it the subject matter? You know, is the Matrix, you know, not a horror because it doesn't have enough horror elements? You know, is Groundhog Day not a horror because it has a happy outcome? You know, the Truman Show, you know, is that not a horror because it doesn't have, you know, blood, guts and gore? But, you know, to realise that your entire life is a lie, I really can't think of anything that, I suppose, scares me more.
I mean, there's one particular scene in Truman Show, well, that's actually a couple of scenes that really stuck with me over the years. One of them was him looking through his photo albums of his wedding day and realising that the picture of him and his wife sitting together, like, she's got her fingers crossed to say that, like, this marriage doesn't count.
Yeah, and I know, you know, they present it in a very kind of comedic way, and, you know, the end of the film is very kind of positive. But actually, you know, the amount of therapy that would be required, I'm not sure that you'd ever recover from that.
Oh, no, you would not.
And, you know, jumping to the Groundhog Day, yes, it's very sweet, and you've got this, you know, news reporter that's reporting on a very essentially boring, menial story. But then, you know, what about the fact that he uses each day to learn a little bit more about this woman? It's essentially stalking that no one else is aware of, just so he can say the right thing and do the right thing. You know, he's like becoming the ultimate nice guy.
Oh God, get out the fedora.
Well, I believe that's, you know,
milady.
Yeah, it's, I don't know whether it's, you know, a sign of the times or what, you know, but a lot of these films, I mean, certainly Groundhog Day came out in, I think it was 93. Truman Show was, again, you know, a kind of early to mid-90s film, I believe. You know, you've got The Matrix coming at the end of the 90s.
Mm.
I don't know whether it was a, you know, a coincidence that, you know, you got the millennium approaching. It was kind of a big hyped up time for a lot of people, this, you know, this unknown, this great unknown. You know, everyone was terrified that Y2K was going to annihilate the world. Or, you know, whether that was a thought behind, you know, the release of some of these films, I don't know, you know, playing on people's fears, or whether it was just, I don't know, you know, a coincidence.
Maybe. I never actually considered that. I don't even know that Groundhog Day was based on a short.
Well, I can't really say that it's based on, because there was a bit of a tit for tat between, you know, the sort of, I think it was the writers and I believe it was Columbia Pictures, that, you know, it, the film's not strictly based on, because they didn't have the rights. I'd have to look a little bit more into it, but I think idea-wise it was heavily influenced by, I think I'll say that, a short story.
Mm. Well, that's good. I do look back fondly on these films and think, oh yeah, I really enjoyed Groundhog Day, but when you think about some of the things that he does, like that one in the diner scene when he's trying to like explain that he knows everyone here, but he's only been there for everyone else, he's only been there for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And he goes around and talks about each individual person, like, oh, this gentleman has like 3 children, this person owns the bar and has done, inherited it from family members, and this woman sounds like a chipmunk when she's having sex and things like that. Like, I remember that scene because it just kind of made me cringe a little bit, because it's like, why the hell would you say that out loud? And it's just some of the things that he would do just to see if time would reset. Like, does he throw a toaster in the bathtub with him just to see if it resets?
yeah. So, you know, we have some very dark themes explored in films that are still presented as comedy.
Like the scene where he drives on the train track with friends in the car, and he drives towards a moving train, and he's just there looking absolutely calm, just smiling, and everyone else is screaming their faces off because they're about to die.
I think it, you know, it's interesting how, you know, if you take out the funny parts, that you know you have some very dark subject matter dealt with in these films. I mean, you know, if that ends, if in Groundhog Day, you know, the scene where the guy drops a toaster, I think it's a toaster, in the bath with him, if that was the final scene of the film and it just cut there because time never reset, you know, you've got a very bleak outcome to, you know, a guy that has lived his final hours in absolute torment because he's had the kind of insanity of living the same day over and over and over again, regardless of what happens on each day, just waking up every morning, you know, with that same awful song on the radio, you know, it's an absolute nightmare. You know, similarly with, you know, with Truman, you know, you've got, you know, he finds out that it's a simulation. And the, you know, the director, or whatever you'd like to call him, of the reality TV show, tries to convince him to remain in the show because it's a better life.
It's a safe space for him, because they know that he'll never be in danger, because they'll plan around what he does.
Yeah, you know, and it's this, you know, this line of actually, you know, how many of us would, you know, would we choose to escape the simulation, you know, that part in the Matrix when they say, you know, this is the moment, you know, this is the choice you have to make. You know,
what pill do you want?
Exactly, you know, red pill, blue pill. How many people would, you know, would choose to leave? And that was, what was that? We watched that, a very good film, where there were aliens taking over Earth. And there was like a high-end society, you know, where it ended, and there was a helicopter on the roof shooting. And, oh, it was where people, that chap wore sunglasses and he saw what they looked like.
Oh, yes, that movie. I know what you're on about. They Live. That's what it's called.
Yeah, you know, that again was you know, you had people in that say, oh, actually, no, I want money, I want power, I'm quite happy.
Mm.
It's, you know, that theme of, well, actually, if you had everything you wanted, but you knew it was a lie, would you keep it?
It's a loaded question, isn't it? Like, imagine if you were put on the spot, like, would you rather live in a simulation where you could have everything you want, but know that...
It's a simulation.
Yeah, and know that everything's fake and that really... Everything you do would amount to nothing because it's already planned. Or would you rather have a life that is somewhat unpredictable, where you could literally walk out of your house and have a falling brick land on your head?
I think it is that, you know, that... I don't know how to phrase it. You know, that's what makes us, certainly what makes me, you know, enjoy life, is that it's varied and it's unpredictable, and it's, as much as I like some predictability, you know, it's not scripted, and that, you know, every choice I make matters. And it's, you know, that's, again, going back to the films, that's the, for me, the scary part is that actually everything that, you know, these characters do is meaningless. You know, the concept of choice, you know, choice is an illusion, because what's the point in making a choice if the outcome is already decided?
Mm. Whether it's through a time loop, a scripted life on a made-up island, on essentially a giant soundstage, or you're in a simulation in where... You're stuck in, like, you have this weird thing attached to the back of your neck. You're stuck in, like, a little pod of goo.
Yeah, and it's that, yes, none of these films were, you know, outwardly presented as horror, but I think they're pretty horrible.
Mm.
I mean, one of the other films I think you were going to talk about was Drop Dead Fred.
Yeah, because that was quite because Drop Dead Fred was kind of like a good childhood favourite of mine, and I was reminded of it recently because I was thinking about Rick Mayall. And because he used to be in a TV show called Bottom, I used to watch as a child, which kind of explains a lot of my sense of humour nowadays.
Hmm. Incidentally, you know, that's another film that was released, you know, in sort of 1991. So I think it was a good time and a, you know, for films. But, you know, they definitely came out with some darker themes dressed up as comedy.
Mm. Well, apparently it got rated 15, because rated 12 wasn't a thing back then. So it got a higher rating for what it was, but still, it had a lot of... when you get down to the nitty-gritty of it, it's literally... It's quite dark. Like, the main character, she... I think she finds out her husband wants a divorce, and her car gets broken into, and loses her car, so steals her purse, and she can't get to work on time, she gets fired. And as a result, has to move back in with her oppressive... sort of like somewhat abusive mother, I want to say, but finds out that there's this jack in the box that her mum had sealed shut when she was a child that holds in her like imaginary friend from childhood that she completely forgot about.
Mm.
So she reopens it, and all these she starts remembering all these times that she had with this imaginary friend called Drop Dead Fred, and then like hilarity ensues in quite a dark way because he starts messing things up around her. She's trying to convince him to try and help her stop the divorce, and then finding out that the seemed to be ex-husband is essentially still cheating on her with the woman he wants to leave her for, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, it's a film that's, you know, in its description is described as black comedy fantasy. So, you know, you've given us a very very concise synopsis, so, you know, I appreciate that. certainly for someone like me, that I think I've seen the film, but, you know, as you know, I have terrible memory for films. Sometimes I even create my own and end up mashing together bits of one film and bits of another. And anyway, yeah, what part of that do you think that if you changed it? I mean, already it sounds quite... you know, unpleasant. But what is it about that film that specifically you think, oh, if you just, you know, if you didn't look at it this way or you took that out, how would you make something that sounds, you know, quite quite funny. I mean, the idea of having an imaginary friend that actually does wreak havoc is quite horrible.
But having like repressed memories of this imaginary friend suddenly re-emerge and then wreak havoc on your adult life when you're trying to put the pieces back together again. You're the only person that can say it, but everyone else just thinks you're going absolutely loopy because these weird things keep happening around you and they think you're doing it.
I suppose that, you know, ties in with the other films, and it's the, you know, the old, oh well, you know, it happened but no one believes me. Like, you know, you talked about the guy in the diner in Groundhog Day. You know, I know this person. Oh well, you know, you're talking a load of rubbish. But legitimately, if somebody came up to you in the street, or, you know, a good friend at work, or, you know, a member of your family phoned you and said, oh well, I need to talk to you about this. This keeps happening. I'm pretty sure that 99% of us would be like, ooh, I think you need some help.
Yeah, most definitely.
Definitely, you know, a fear of not being believed is quite an unpleasant.
Yeah, like, do you, like, what you think is real? Like, are you being paranoid? Are you imagining these things? Or are they just happening to you? And if so, why?
yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I think a Parent Trap could be potentially a dark one, because it is essentially like you're switching. These two children find out that they're twins, literally switch to try and get the parents back together. And it's just a bit like, well,
yeah, that, you know, that's a nice, happy, cheery, late 90s film. But you take out the fact that, you know, people divorce for reasons.
Yes.
the fact that you are potentially trying to force two, you know, incompatible people back together is, one, not only exceptionally selfish.
Yes.
But also, you know, oh, wouldn't it be funny if, you know, all the parents get back together and these two children, with the best of intentions, create this toxic, screaming, shouting household where, in the end, nobody's happy. You know, just because you've changed the fact that, you know, these two adults could live perfectly happily, you know, away from each other.
What I find weird is the fact that the parents didn't notice at first that the children had switched.
Well, I mean, you know, not having twins or not being around twins. I'm pretty sure that, well, thinking about it, you know, maybe if you didn't see your other child that frequently, you might not recognise them, but I would like to think that most parents of twins would recognise their children.
Yeah, well, I bloody hope so. I mean, even if it's like a minor mannerism, you'd hope that you'd recognise that, oh, why have you got your sister's like mannerism? And another one we talked about was the one where they switch bodies, where the mum and the daughter switch.
Oh, Freaky Friday.
That's the one, yes. Like, imagine if, like, a dark turn of events, if, like...
Well, you very kindly put the idea into my head that, you know, what if the you know, was it, what if the mum died?
No, in the daughter's body, and then
the daughter's stuck sleeping with her father. Yes, that's not a topic I intend to touch on today, but there's a horrible thought for your listeners.
And, like, growing up in, like, your parents' body and literally, like, no one believing you yet again, that really you're... Like, they might think you've got a bit loopy because you're like, I am in the wrong body, this is not my flesh.
Oh, I think you'd just stop talking about it in the end.
Eventually, yes.
Yeah, again, you know, I do like that film, you know, especially if I'm not feeling well and it's one I can just sort of sit down and, you know, watch. But again, you know, the happy ending of, oh, everything switches back and, oh, we've learnt some wonderful life lessons about each other, isn't that lovely? You know, how about you scrap that ending? No, it's a horrible, it's a horrible concept, first of all, you know, waking up in, you know, your mother's body. You know, I suddenly don't want to feel like I'm 60 overnight. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You know, having to go and do a job that I have no idea how to do. You know, for those of you listening that, you know, possibly, you know, don't drive, you know, to find yourself in a situation that you have to get in a vehicle and get from A to B, or you have to do a task. Again, it's that, you know, that fear of kind of ineptness. Oh, I don't know how to do this, but I have to keep up the illusion.
So instead of like living within a simulated life, you have to try and forge the one that you're kind of stuck with for the time being until you can switch.
Well, you're stuck in a real life, but you're having to kind of wing your way through it. You know, go into a workplace that you've never been to before, speak to people that you're expected to know things about, and do a job that you know, you've no idea how to do. Ooh. Ooh, no.
No. I mean, a part of me thinks that really Mrs. Doubtfire, if it's, like, tipped in the right direction, it could be, like, a psychological horror.
Yeah, that film has all kinds of... The more you think about it, the creepier it gets.
Yeah, it's, like, finding out, like, after, like, I don't know how many weeks or months, that really the person that's been looking after you is actually your... Essentially, your dad dressed up as, a nanny to try and... see his children. Like, how much of a shitty parent must you be to not get parental rights when you're divorced?
Yeah, I mean, I think he does, you know, he is granted sort of some time with them, but it's the fact that he wants to see them more, and apparently the best and the cheapest way to do that is to have a full body suit of an old woman.
Wear veneers and glasses and... You know, get used to wearing stockings without accidentally cordoning, like, laddering in your tights and things.
Yeah, you know, surely there are cheaper ways to do this. I mean, I like the film. I haven't seen it in quite a long time. I don't know which would be the worst part. Like you say, finding out that somebody that you've probably grown quite fond of doesn't exist and is just your father in a suit. Or... then, you know, those kids growing up and starting to... Not, obviously, this doesn't happen in the film, but, you know, if you take it a little bit further, you know, those kids grow up and go, oh, actually, you know, Dad, why did you dress up for that long? You know, why couldn't you just come and see us as our father?
Mm. I mean, I do find the restaurant scene quite messed up, where he... I think it's like ex-wife or seem to be ex-wife.
Oh, the poisoning, the sort of allergy tampering.
Yeah, because he knows that the guy...
He's allergic to pepper.
Yeah, and then puts it in the guy's food at a restaurant and literally has like a severe reaction to it, and like his unbeknownst wife literally shouts like, Mrs. Doubtfire! And then, like, the infamous scene where Mrs. Doubtfire is, like, pole vaulting over the tables and shouting, help is on the way! As she's, like, running towards them to, like, give a Heimlich manoeuvre.
Well, you know, again, like, you know, if you take out the sort of bit that, you know, onwards, where the judge, you know, sort of looks at that and goes, oh, actually, you know, that was a really, really stupid thing to do. You know, what if... your dad, dressed as your nanny/housekeeper, just murdered your mother's partner and is now in prison because, for whatever reason, they, you know, didn't visit you as your dad. It's just screwed up.
Like, imagine if there was a twist to it, like, to make it really messed up film, if, like, you find out it wasn't your dad in suit, but it was literally just this random person that's pretending to be a nanny.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously the film kind of, stays away from those undertones, and, you know, does have a happy ending, and, you know, you get joint custody and happy days. Same with a lot of these films, you know, they all, you know, they explore these themes of, you know, family, separation, conflict, you know, like we talked about earlier, you know, who doesn't love a good existential crisis? But ultimately, it's the endings that make them, well, for me, not horror.
Mm. I mean, there is a film similar to Groundhog Day that is called Repeaters, and we did watch it a few years back. I don't know if you remember or not.
Did I like it?
I think you did. Because it's kind of a similar theme to it. It's these three people that are, I think... finishing their prison sentence, or they're like in the middle of it, And they have a visitation day where they can see someone they care about, and then that particular day repeats itself, and they start exploring more and more messed up things.
Yeah, they're at a rehab centre.
So instead of it just being this one guy that's repeating the same day and doing things, it's these two guys and a woman, and one of them wants to fix his life up so he could see his sisters and his mum. Someone else is there because of family issues from when she was a child. Another one was his dad went to prison for him, so that he didn't have to go instead.
And I vaguely remember that. But for me, I'm sure it's a very good film, but as I say, I have a very bad memory. And it's the whole, consequence loop, and that when, these people are freed from consequences that are a very dark side or a dark series of human behaviour, comes out. And, when the loop's broken by the actions of, some of the characters, and, they've made peace and their ending is quite happy, that actually, one of the inmates, or not sure what you'd call him.
Patients,
yeah. He goes on a rampage and, murders people, and it doesn't reset for him because the loop's already been broken. And he realises that now he's stuck, with those consequences.
Yeah, I think the loop doesn't break for him as well, because he doesn't amend for what happened, because his dad also is still in prison for the sentence that he was meant to do.
I mean, again, that film's traditionally billed as a thriller. Came out in the 2010, that one, so, a little bit longer. A bit of a different decade than the others.
Oh, God, it's been 11 years. Oh, God, I thought it was only 4 years ago. Oh, God.
Well, I still think, 2010 is 2 years ago.
Yeah, I do as well. It's a bit of a horrifying thought when you realise just how long ago these films came out. Yeah, I think that's a bit of quite a good episode, in terms of identity, existential crisis, and modern reality.
Yeah, the topic of this podcast was films that should be, or that we would classify as horror, that aren't. If you read into them or you change a little bit, and it'd be interesting, if any of your listeners want to comment or anything like that, if there's a particular film that they watch that, they find quite disturbing, the more you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, someone did comment recently on it about, because they mentioned Watch It Down.
Oh yes, that was one that we were going to give an honourable mention, but I think that film that's just traumatising in its own right.
Yeah, I can't even listen to Bright Eyes without having flashbacks. I think that just says a lot. I think it was just some of the scenes in that film, how still it was a film of its time, where you could get away with a lot more things in children's films and not really think about it. But you look back at it nowadays and it's oh dear God. But yeah, I think that's probably a good wrap up for this episode. So you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. You can also find us on Spotify, Pocket Cast, I believe Breaker, Anchor, and half a dozen other places as well. But you can find our link tree on Instagram and Facebook, and donate as a buy us a coffee. We're now on Patreon as well, which is even better. And we also have a Spreadshirt merch website, page as well.
And I can absolutely vouch for the Spreadshirts. I love jumpers. I love jumper season. I think now is the perfect time to get yourself a jumper. Now it's getting a little bit colder. If, of course, you live in the Northern Hemisphere. If you live in the Southern Hemisphere, perhaps look at the T-shirts instead. But buy some merch. It's great.
Yeah, it's nice, warm and comfy. But yeah, I should be getting some more designs out soon enough. I did consider doing a Krampus-themed one, but I thought, you know what, I'll save that for future reference. So later down the line, more designs later on. So buy us a coffee, have a listen to us on the podcast, and see you in the next one, my darlings.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
How can you do this to me? This is hurting my soul. This is Megath.